It's kind of like a wedding celebration. And Kimberly and I were happy to be a part of my niece's wedding. My sister Peggy and Dean, they attend this church. Their daughter Sydney was married last weekend. And we were a part of that, and it was wonderful. And it's similar to a wedding where people are just partying and eating and dancing and laughing together and celebrating vows of love. But at some point, all that ends. And you go to the hall the next morning, and it's just a mess. There's nobody there. Peg and Dean are on their honeymoon right now, or Sydney and her husband Griffin, I mean. Peg and Dean's honeymoon ended years ago, I'm sure. But they're on their honeymoon. There's a time where they'll get back, and they'll plug in the new microwave, and their life starts. I want to show you a picture. This is from now. So they had this sign, love, this love sign that was a part of their wedding. And this is my niece, Savannah, who was just kind of goofing around. But here's another picture that might show you more clearly. So this is Sydney and her new husband, Griffin, and there's the love sign. They had this beautiful love sign that was a part of the whole ceremony. I want a love sign. I just want a love sign for my house. Like, put it in my living room or maybe outside somewhere. But here's the thing, and this is just the image I want to give you. How do we keep the love in our lives, like, when the wedding's over? How do we keep the love in our lives when Christmas is over? Like, how does that get real? How does Emmanuel get real in our lives? And so, on Epiphany Sunday, we look at a story in the Bible. And it's a story about how God got real to someone in a huge way. Like, I want to look at this person because this is fascinating. Emmanuel affected every aspect of this person's life. The impact of Jesus on this person was huge, as we will see. Massive. Now, how God got real to this person is going to surprise you if you don't know this story. It's going to surprise you in a big way. Because in this story, we see that the love of God is alive in the world, but it's actually a challenge to some people. That's what we see in this story. Emmanuel is a challenge. I mean, yeah, God is God of all, and God loves all people. And we remember the Christmas story where the angel sang to the shepherds on that first Christmas Eve, "We bring good news of great joy that will be for all people." And this is a story of a person who wouldn't have called Emmanuel good news. Good news. The Bible is called good news. And it's good news because the Christmas message has this amazing kind of reality that we're never alone in a dark world. This whole thing that God comes into our lives even when we think we're alone, and that God reveals that there's a plan for our lives if we just listen to God's voice and trust in God, that there's this plan. That's why it's called good news. It means that God has prepared a future for you that you can't even believe. And if you believe that God is in the world in those powerful ways, it will change your life. That's why it's called good news. But this is a story of a person who hears the news of Emmanuel in the world. It's not good news to them. So here it is. And this is the story that we read on Epiphany Sunday. Churches around the world are reading this story. Here it is. Just a couple of verses of it. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Now, it's one thing to hear the news about Jesus and not really care. I mean, we get used to that in our culture. Like, we as a church are just trying to put the word out there. And a lot of people, yeah, I know the Christmas story, Jesus is born, and we're in a tolerant society, and you believe what you want to believe, whatever. Like, if that's what you believe, that's fine, but I don't really care. I mean, people in our culture are like that oftentimes. They just don't really care. Herod cared. Herod cared a lot, except that he's angry about Emmanuel. Herod is threatened. King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Well, right there in that text that's on the screen, we see the problem already. There's somebody that's been born who is being called King of the Jews, and Herod's like, wait a second, I'm the King of the Jews. I mean, I know I'm a puppet king, it's Rome that calls the shots, but I mean, my people call me King of the Jews. And then now, there's this birth of someone who is revealed to some people as the awaited one, the Messiah, the true and the everlasting King. And here it's like, this revelation seriously messes up my station in life. You see, Emmanuel was threatening to change everything that he was. And he was disturbed. That was his reaction. Wow. Here's how it goes on. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, now, so the plan was that he had met with the Magi and that they were going to go see this new king and that they were supposed to come back to Herod and report to him so that he could know where the baby was, but they didn't. They just took off because they knew what he was up to. So that's why he was furious. He had been outwitted by the Magi. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under. That was Herod's reaction to Emmanuel. Come, O come, Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel. Rejoice, 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 Emmanuel. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Herod goes crazy. It's not good news for Herod. God's love is in the world. And it's almost like good news to some, but not good news to others, depending on the ears that hear. And if you think about it, that's not so hard. It's not hard to believe. It's not a stretch. Like, there's just a couple of historical events. The ending of apartheid in South Africa, when Nelson Mandela is elected prime minister in 1994. And it gave the world a cause to celebrate. It gave the colored people, the black people in South Africa a cause to celebrate. And anybody who cares about human rights a cause to celebrate. The oppressed are free, equal rights, equality. Good news, good news. But not maybe so good news to some of the Afrikaners. Because they lost everything they had. They lost their position of power, their elevation. They lost that superiority they had. Now they had to share the benefits of the land. And so here it is. When justice comes and love comes for all people, some don't hear that as good news because some people have to give something up. What about the abolition of slavery in the United States? Good news for a lot of people, but not good news for plantation owners, for instance. That wasn't good news for them. What if I were to say, we want to build a church here that attracts 100 kids every Sunday morning? That's what we really want to do here. We want to do that so badly. We want to bring programming that will show young families and show children that God is not irrelevant or boring, but that God can be real in their lives. And we just want to make that happen in a huge way. Isn't that good news? That's what we're going to do. Yeah. News. It's going to be a change, though, isn't it? Because when you got a bunch of kids around, things just change. Kids are messy and kind of noisy. And young families, like, do young families contribute to this church financially? You know, it's going to be a big change. Younger people, younger parents, they have a different culture. Like, they bring a whole different vibe to the church. We have our traditions here. What are we going to have to give up? I'm not sure if I'm ready to give up, what I might need to give up to make that happen. Do you see how good news can maybe not be such good news depending on the ears that hear? Herod was upset, and a lot of people seem pretty happy. This message, behold, I bring you good news of great joy. But Herod is not hearing this as good news. Why? Because he says, this revelation seriously messes up my station in life. And so here's what this is all about. The whole Herod story, and I'm going to get to another story quickly. The whole Herod story sets the stage for what this baby will grow into. This baby grows into this man, this Son of God, people called him. That was a comfort, yes, and a Prince of Peace, yes, and a bringer of love to some, but also a challenger to others and a disturber to others. And a cross carrier. Jesus asked his followers, will you carry the cross? And they're like, what? And then he said, you know what, my life is going to end in a certain way. You know that, don't you? And they're like, I'm not sure if we do. Dude, my life is going to end on a cross. And then I'm going to ask you before I die on a cross, are you willing to carry that cross? And they're like, I don't know. I don't even know if I call that good news. That's what you're asking me to do, is carry a cross. And so the first sermon Jesus preached, there's the core of that sermon, the heart of it that beats and pulsates. The heart of that sermon is called the Beatitudes. And before Jesus gave that sermon that contained the Beatitudes, he might have said, I've got some good news and bad news. Which would you like first? And they must have said, give us the good news first, because this is how it starts. This is the Beatitudes. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. People hear those words. And it's good news because Jesus is blessing them. Blessed are you who are poor. I know what it's like to be poor. I know what it's like to worry about money. The Gospel of Luke says, blessed are the poor in spirit. I know what it's like to be poor in spirit. I know what it's like to be broke. And Jesus is blessing me. Blessed are you who are hungry now. I know what it's like to be hungry. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. I know what it's like to have a broken heart. And I'm here, and this is good news. Jesus is blessing me. And then Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on, you know this. But woe to you who are rich, for you already received your comfort. Wait a second. Woe to you who are well fed now. Woe to you who laugh now. I mean, I hear that as a warning, maybe even like, I don't know if I hear that as good news, because I have a lot of money. I mean, compared to 96% of the world, I have a lot of money. Woe to you who are rich, and I'm well fed, and I've got things in my life that cause me laughter and joy. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. I don't know if I'm hearing this as good news. Jesus, what are you, I'm not getting this. The Herod story, and then the Beatitudes. It's like the opening act that foreshadows what the play will be all about. Right? That's what it is. If you go through the Gospel of Luke, you who are listening now, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. What? You're asking me to love my enemies? Like, are we understanding this, that good news can be disturbing and can be challenging? Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Jesus said, you have heard it said, but I say to you, right? We've talked. You've heard it said, love your family. You know, bless you if you love your family. We hear, Jesus said, I say to you, love someone else's family while you're at it. In fact, love all the children around you, not just your own children. You mean I'm responsible for someone else's kids? Yeah, it takes a village. Man, good news, maybe depending on the ears that hear. Jesus, you're asking me to change the way I live in a profound way, which, frankly speaking, is kind of disturbing to me. And I'm struggling with whether or not I want to call this good news. That's what Epiphany's about. A rich young man approached Jesus. You know this story? And he said, Jesus, I'm a good man. I follow all the laws. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the young man walked away sad. Did Jesus mean that literally or not? You could talk about that. You could discuss whether or not Jesus meant that literally. The point was, this young man invested so much in what he had that he was ignoring other things he needed to do. Seven times in the Gospels, people walk away from Jesus saying, these teachings are too hard. And on Palm Sunday, what we celebrate the week before Easter, that Jesus parades into Jerusalem, and there's thousands of people waving palm branches, saying, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna to the King. And then Jesus, a week later, is arrested for disturbing the peace. And he stands before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of elevation and status and respect from my peers. My kingdom is about looking out for the weak and giving life so that someone else might live. That's what my kingdom is about. And there's a huge part of us that is frightened by that. And so one thing we remember this morning, after all the festivities of Christmas is over, the thing that we remember is that there's a bit of Herod in all of us. There's a part of Jesus that threatens us, what we do, the comfortable places that we call our very own, the stations of our lives that we cherish. The kingdom that Jesus wants to bring into this world is a kingdom that comes at a cost. Jesus said, are you ready to carry that? Are you ready to carry that cross? And it frightens us, and we're not sure if we're ready. We don't know if we want to sacrifice ourselves for others. In the end, here's the truth. The word that we have and the message of Emmanuel is called good news. It's not called good news, bad news. It's called good news. It's a warning, yes. It's a big heads up. God warns us because God loves us. Like if your little child was standing beside Highway 124, you'd warn the child. Danger. If your teenage daughter is getting into recreational drugs, you'd warn her because you love her. It's a warning. It's a warning. Here's the warning. Make sure you know that there's Herod in you, and don't forget what love requires of you. And just take a look at the life of Jesus and how he lived and where he was born and the company he kept. And remember that he said, go and do likewise. It would only be bad news if there was nothing that we could do about it. Like if there was no time left. It would be bad news if there was just no time to change. It's like the Christmas Carol, where Scrooge, after having these warnings in his dreams that night, Scrooge gets up. And he's overjoyed because he realizes there's still time. There's still time to change. And if you're thinking the change that Jesus is calling me to make in my life, you know, I know I need to make that change. There's still time. It's a new day. It's a new year. Leave everything behind. Everything's brand new. It's a new creation, and you're a new creation. There's still time. And God is gracious beyond belief. Just last thing, throughout the Bible, there are stories of people who just thought it was too late. Story after story after story. I'm too old. I'm too bad. I'm just way past the expiry date. Like, oh, don't open that up. Don't open that up. It's way past the expiry date. Don't open up my life. It's way too late. And so many people that followed Jesus said that. And Jesus said, look, just walk on this road now. It's not too late. There's still time. And those people took that chance. And they finally saw their potential. And they became disciples and healers and apostles and bearers of the light of God. There's still time. So on this Epiphany Sunday, we've heard the angels sing. We've seen that the light has come into the world. Mary had a baby, yes, my Lord. And now Jesus is here. How will your ears hear that news?